Welcome to the Chasing Tomorrow podcast, episode 138. Tonight it's me and Don. We shared an experience this past weekend that we thought is really worth talking about for a little while because it reflects so much, I think, of all of what we deal with out in the trail running community, maybe even life more broadly. There's some very good shared experiences, a few bumps and bruises along the way, and just overall pretty fun to get a moment to reflect on this. Don, how are you feeling post run?
I'm good. I'm really good. I have been up and running the last couple of days, got back in the gym this afternoon, lifted a little bit. So yeah, body feels right where I would hope it would at this point. So I'm happy. I'm 3.5 weeks from Cocodona, something like that, give or take. I don't even know. It's coming up quick is all I know. I guess it's almost 4 weeks, a little less than 4 weeks now, but I feel really good at my training and body feels good, and yeah, just happy to be healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so Don and I were up in just outside of Portland and Cascade Locks, right on the side of the Columbia River and the Columbia River Gorge. Spectacularly beautiful location. Signed up for 100K. As a matter of fact, actually, the first day Don ran 30K, and then day two was 100K, which I joined him for. And, this time of year in that valley, I think just to make everyone laugh, Don and I were out for dinner and the night before, and we said to the waitress and said, "Hey, when will it stop raining?" Thinking like later the night, she said, "In May." And so we're like, oh, okay. So we were in for a treat. It was going to rain. It was going to be starting at 39 degrees or something like that. Then we were going to get hail, mud, stream crossings, big winds, snowy peaks, and a whole lot of discomfort, which, isn't a problem, generally speaking. But this was, a different kind of day for both of us. To jump to the punchline, I stopped at my mile 38 and a half. Don stopped at mile 48. And, we both had our reasons for stopping before the finish, which, we don't take lightly. We'll sort of talk about that in a minute here. But the conditions were pretty miserable. And, there was a good sort of thinking that went on about, both safety and purpose. And, what were we there to do? And, grind our way to the finish or walk away feeling reasonably good, even if we were freezing cold. So, right. What was going through your mind, Don, during this event?
Yeah. So for me, there was a lot of, it was a training weekend. That first and foremost, that's why I was there, right? I think that's really important from a mindset point of view, is that I was there as a training weekend. And the idea was, it's 1 month out from Cocodona. What better way to do a big weekend than in a controlled race environment? So I was planning on racing all 3 days, 18 miles or so on Friday, 62 miles on Saturday, and then 31 miles on Sunday, and making it a great training weekend. So just to kind of, sum up my experience, is that Friday actually was quite nice. It was chilly, but not miserable. It was one of those, as long as you're moving, you'll be okay. And so that went nice. And then, come Saturday, I was all in. I was there. I was going to have some fun. I started, Joe and I ran the first couple miles together, nice and easy. And then I was like, hey, I feel pretty good. And I ran up the big hill and felt good for a while. And then the mindset started shifting when it started getting really, really cold and really, really wet. And then the hail and then the snow came on. And I kept reminding myself that, this is a training day. Like, it's okay to go slower. Because I didn't even consider not finishing at that point, because I set out to do this thing. So it was like, okay, it's a training day. Don't hurt yourself. Let's slow down. So I slowed down a lot. And I think I underestimated how much colder I was going to get by slowing down on top of being soaking wet. And so at some point, midway, I've realized I was soaking wet, cold, shaking, shivering, and having a really hard time warming up. And that's where the mindset of like, this is a training day. This is like, there's no point in being this far outside of your comfort zone for this long on a training day. And really what sealed the deal for me of making the decision to stop running at mile 48 was like, okay, if I was training back home and I felt like this for this long, I would have called my wife, hours ago to come pick me up because I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be hurt. This is not the goal. This is a step in the process. And I was upset. I mean, I think anytime you set out to accomplish something for me anyways, and you quote unquote fail at it, there is a sense of mourning and loss. And I mean, I called my wife and I cried a little bit. Like I wanted to do this. I truly wanted to have this amazing experience of running these three races. But at the end of the day, you can both be sad about something and know that you're making the right decision and being smart for what the bigger purpose and the bigger goal is. And that's for me what made it the right decision, and like absolutely no regrets pulling the plug when I did, because it still took me hours to warm up wearing like a massive Mountain Hardwear mountaineering jacket inside, and then sitting in the rental car for a while in the heat. So I made the right decision. I opted again not to run on Sunday because I woke up with snow on the ground at my Airbnb and just as cold, just as rainy, if not a little colder. And I was like, this is not why I'm here. I'm training for a hot weather race, not a cold weather race. So I shifted gears and I changed to a support mindset. I went up to the race. I supported the athletes. I cheered at the aid stations and then watched the finish line. And I had a great time. So, not the weekend that I set out to have, but the weekend I think was what it needed to be based on the conditions. I feel great today because I made that decision. I didn't get sick. My body feels good, rebounded quickly. So, that's a lot more than you asked me, but I think it's just getting out the whole story right off the bat is, best case scenario for me. And, likewise, we obviously talked about your experience, Joe. So I'd be curious to hear, your experience throughout the day on Saturday, and then where your mindset was as well.
Yeah, I think that, and I'll put it out there. I mean, I've gone to the finisher races with broken bones, and so I don't know that I was
Same.
incapable of getting to the finish line. I think I was very capable. As a matter of fact, when I stopped, I don't think I felt bad. Like I wasn't. I mean, yeah, cold, but like I felt fine. I was talking to the aid station people, and my judgment came from a couple of different places. I went into this race for me, having come off of a month of pretty crazy work stuff. And, I wrote this blog post just recently, which is be good to yourself. And typically after a whole bunch of just long days and little sleep and, a bunch of things, you should take a little break. It's good for the body and the soul to do that. But I had signed up for the race, so I went and did it. And I was actually pretty happy that I went and ran 40 miles in horrible conditions. I wasn't thinking that I didn't run 62. I was really happy I ran 40. And it's so interesting because I was out there by myself, never turned on the radio. There was really no one to talk to that day. I like literally didn't have a conversation. And so I was just like, after a while, I got everything I needed. And then the mud got pretty bad where you both of us know there were some dangerous spots that even if you were going good, you could have slipped down a cliff. And it's like, no, I slipped a couple of times, fell on my rear end. Those were fine. But I was like, I just actually accomplished what I wanted, which was to get in a big day in some tough conditions. And so I reframed. And, like you, I don't know if I've ever had peace with, as the world would say, didn't finish, because I usually don't give myself that room. But I was really happy that I gave myself the room to live it slightly differently. And so, yeah, I ended and was just actually happy. And not because that I was done, because I could have got 4 or 5 more hours wouldn't have been, it would have been slow, but it would have been fine. But it just didn't, I wasn't going to get anything more. And I was only going to add to the risk. And it's like, yeah, so why should I just sort of jog walk for another 4 to 5 hours? Is there any point of that? I got what I needed. and I was able to sort of get a great day in. So that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a tough mindset sometimes to go into something, right? You sign up for a race, and I know you and I think about, like, if we sign up for a race, we're going to go there to do the race, right? Like, you didn't even get into all the things that you had in your life going on leading up to this race, which added more challenges than, you know, anybody else in that field faced. So, like, but you still showed up, and I think that's amazing. And to be able to have the mindset of say, look, I don't feel like I failed. I accomplished something, and I succeeded in the regards of making the decision to stop with the mindset of long-term safety, right? Like, I think there is an inherent value to having that mindset of giving up this bigger, you know, whatever you would put significance on an actual finish line, like, give that up for long-term perseverance or long-term saving your body. It's an interesting mindset that, as we were talking earlier, kind of goes well outside of ultra running.
Yeah. I think that this is what we're supposed to practice, you know, sort of the whole self, not just this one-dimensional self, and the power that we have to get to the finish line is the same power we needed to use to stop finishing, right? And I think that's the interesting part. And then to do it at peace. I honestly think that was the part that I was really working on myself, which was, because, you know, interesting, right? So I was coming on the way, it's like a very weird out and back kind of course. And so I was out and on the way back, and there was an aid station before the one I dropped at, and someone offered me a ride back to the start line. I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to keep going, even though it's miserable, because I want to get those more miles. So, like, I could have abandoned, but I felt like I had set a new end point for this. Like, you know, there's times where you can go do a race, and maybe they had to cut it short because, you know, of, I don't know, say a bridge was out, you know, like, you just react to the moment. I will say, you know, that first is beautiful. You should just remind everyone. There are these gorges. There are these waterfalls.
Oh, my gosh. It's spectacular.
Beautiful. Yes. And so that part was really nice. But I don't know if I've ever been in anything muddier. And I don't know how to run in mud. Like, I don't know what you do with that.
No, I still have – I mean, we're – 4 days removed from us running that, I still have like dirt in my toenails that I cannot get out. Like, it's, my feet are still muddy, and I've soaked them, I've scrubbed them and loofed them. And I asked Amy, like, she's like, I'm like, how long do you think I'm going to have dirt? Amy's my wife. And how long do you think you're going to have dirt in my finger and toenails? And she's like, yeah, probably until they grow out at this point. Like, they're just, that dirt got so, and that mud got so caked into my feet and then my shoes that it is a part of me now.
I know, you know, I went back to the hotel and I took the socks and I rinsed them 12 times and they were still running mud.
Yeah, still, that sounds about brown. Right.
Like, I mean, just like it didn't seem possible that there could have been that. So we were in mud for a long time. I mean, like this, and down some pretty steep grades too, which then made that just not fun.
Yeah. I wrote an apology letter to my Airbnb and host that just said, I did my best to sweep everything and clean it, but with how muddy it was. And she had sent me a note anyway saying, hey, I hope you enjoyed the area. Sorry for all the rain. So I like hand wrote her, I'm really sorry for how muddy the shower and potentially the sheets still are, because I couldn't wash the mud off my body. Like, she's gonna have to deal with that, and I felt really bad.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, so I think that it's interesting because, you know, imagine if it was a 50K that day, you know.
Yeah.
We probably would have finished it because that would have been long enough to accomplish what we were trying to accomplish.
100%.
And, you know, and so, yeah, I think that, you know, for all you listening out there, I think that this is a good balancing act that we should all run, you know, which is sometimes it's good to you know, reframe your objectives in life, because there's no reason to create failure for ourselves. And then there's sometimes where we want to reframe to push harder through something that we wouldn't normally push through. But that's up to us to decide on that day and to make sure that you're not playing anyone else's game, right? That day, what was powerful, Don, especially, look, you're a competitive athlete. I'm, you know, just this guy out here having some fun. But for you, you didn't play anyone's game that day, which is really good, because if you did and you're worried about what someone thinks, and then maybe you go and then this is not getting a good outcome, and then you're compromising your big race coming up, and like, so what would defend? So play your own game, right?
Yeah. It just comes down to is what I'm doing today risking what I'm actually setting out to accomplish? Because running 3 races in 3 days wasn't what I was setting out to accomplish. Yeah, it was a fun story, right? It could be the first person to do it, like all this stuff, but that's not the story that I'm trying to tell this summer. The story that I'm trying to tell this summer is going out and having a fun, good race at Cocodona 250. So as soon as you realize that what you're doing today could put that at risk, the decision actually becomes quite easy to change your plans and not, and be at peace with it. Like I told a lot of people that I was running 3 races in 3 days, and was a part of me being like, well, like now I gotta tell them, like, didn't do it. Like, well, yeah, I'm a little sad, but it's not their life to live. It's not their race to run, and they're not running Cocodona. So, the cool thing is every athlete that I told on this, like at the finish line, and you know, everybody that I was like, hey, I made this decision. And even the online community, when I posted, hey, I made this decision to not, like, to pull out of Saturday, you know, a half marathon to go and not run Sunday, everybody, every single message was, that was the right decision. Good job. Yeah. Good job making it. I even got text like, great job doing it with humility and like being honest of why you did it and showing that you dropped out for a purpose, because like it can be hard to blast it. Just as easy as it to say, I'm doing this cool thing. It can be hard to be like, hey, you know, that cool thing that I told everybody I was going to do, I didn't end up doing it. Because I have this even cooler thing coming up in 3 weeks that I didn't want to slide off a cliff or roll an ankle or just get an pneumonia or something like that for being in a 30-degree rain for 3 straight days.
Yeah. So, you know, just as a funny story, as you're saying, I was thinking back in 2001, working for this company, Mainspring, and we were taking the company public, and I guess it was 2000. And we were finishing up a couple of the investor meetings, and we landed on the plane back in Westchester Airport. And as we landed, our CFO looked at the NASDAQ and had gone down 600 points that day. And so the market was falling apart. And he said, let's stop fighting gravity here and pull the offer and come back out in 6 months. And that's what we did. You know, we had a lot geared up behind this thing. And then 6 months later, we had a successful public offering. And had we tried to continue to press through, we don't know what would have happened. It might have been a really bad idea. And so it's in life across the board, you know, that there are times where, I don't know, you know, back to like whose life is it anyway? Be good to yourself. This is those moments. And I don't think we need to over defend it either. You know, you know, this is what happened, and I'm happy for it. And, you know, it was a good race and it was a beautiful place. And, you know, maybe we go back and do it again one day.
I mean, I would love to run that course again, maybe in like July.
Yeah.
When it's a little less wet, a little less cold. It is going to be 1 week later next year. I do know that. Whether that makes a difference or not, who knows? But you said it before, though, that course is gorgeous. Like those, I've never seen so many waterfalls in my life. It's everywhere you look and everywhere you turn. And I had the opportunity of seeing it, well, really 3 times, because you go the 18-mile race on Friday with point to point. They drop you off at the far end, run all the way back. Then the race on Saturday, you go out and back on the same course, and then add on a little bit extra that I I dropped at the far end of that. So I got to see everything multiple times. And it was amazing the things that we saw. I saw Saturday that I didn't see Friday. The stream crossing that I'm guessing you got wet at, I got wet at. Yeah. That wasn't running very strong on Friday, so we were able to just jump right across it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was a total shock on Saturday going down there. I'm like, oh, this isn't gonna, like, holy moly, it's twice as wide and twice as deep.
Wow.
And there is a little footbridge, but the bridge is out and kind of dammed up with logs, and you can kind of decide, like, how do you want to get over this thing? Or we didn't even have to think twice about it Friday.
Oh my gosh.
So I would love to go back there and see it again and just maybe hike that area, because it was unbelievably gorgeous.
Beautiful. Good coffee there too. A coffee shop, some good food in this Cascade Locks, not far from Portland. It's a trip that we all should take. So yeah, I think, we'll go with the, we're living to fight another day, big picture, great experience, all well that ends well, and just, feeling pretty good about it. Except both Don and I got poison ivy too, so that was a little bit of residual fun.
Yeah, I didn't even notice it until last night. I started itching a couple of spots. I'm like, what is this? And I realized I got places that I got scratched up a little bit. And stepped off the trail and got some thorns in the leg are all bumpy and itchy today. So, yeah, I mean, you and I, Joe, have some pretty uncomfortable poison ivy stories that we probably shouldn't get into on a podcast, but we're no strangers to poison ivy at this point in our lives.
No. It is one of those risks that we run for sure. Oh my gosh. You used the new Speedland shoes. How did they do out there?
Yeah, it's, to be totally honest, I love that shoe. It's probably not quite the right shoe for how muddy it was. It was great on Friday when the course was more dry, but when it got muddy, the lugs just weren't really deep enough. And I who knows, it was so muddy, it might have been the same trouble in all the other pairs of Speedlands too. But I definitely found myself slipping and sliding and falling on my butt a little bit. And like I said, it was so muddy that might not be unique to Speedland. No. I just wish maybe I would have had a little bit more. So I would have, looking back, I would have run in the Speedland HSV just because it has a little bit more tacky rubber as well on the midsole. So some of those, that like that big long downhill descent at mile was like 18 or 20 or something like that. That's like super wet and super steep. That would have been nice to have some secure rubber on.
Yeah, it was interesting. I guess once you had everyone running over it, it just got it worse and worse. And so, it was pretty interesting. Like, I never ran in that much mud.
I've never been that muddy in my life, so I was shocked. Malt was at Multnomah Falls, which is the tallest waterfall in Oregon. You get to run up and around that and see that really up close and personal. Is where that big downhill was coming down the backside of Multnomah.
And I think that the water's running all off of Mount Hood, way up, whatever it is, around 11,000 feet. So. Pretty fun place to go. So now we got, what is it, 4 weeks from today? Or
4 weeks from, it was 4 weeks from Monday. So, a little less than 4 weeks, 26 days.
Here comes the desert. No more mud.
Yeah, no more mud. That really excites me. So what I'm really excited, one of the reasons that I'm really happy with the weekend was, one, how well I ran easy on Friday. So I was running fast and easy. We got to this, there's a little road section. I looked down and I was running like 6:30, 6:45 pace with Zach Marion, who's a super fast elite dude. And I was like, I should probably slow down a little bit. But that felt easy and effortless. So that was a good takeaway, that I have fast legs, I have strong legs. And then how well I climbed that second day, even though it was muddy on tired legs from the day before, I was climbing really, really well. I must have passed 100 people going up that hill. Just on your left, on your left, on your right, on your, just zigzagging up and down. I felt really strong going up hills all day. It just got really hard going down the hills. My body was so cold and tense that led to the drop. But a lot of really good takeaways that give me a ton of confidence going now less than 4 weeks into Cocodona that I should be at least as strong as anybody else in the field. I'm not saying I'm the fastest, best, fittest, whatever, but my leg strength is pretty elite right now, which is exciting.
Fun. We'll probably talk before this, but just for funny, just to talk about mud. So in Westchester, where one of my houses is, this Leatherman's Loop race a week from Sunday, and it's a 10K, and there's stream crossings and there's a lot of mud, but it's only a 10K, and there's some mud that, or they, I don't know, they put water down on the trail. It can go up to your knees. It's pretty wild. So I think maybe I got some practice in for that one. And some of the streams are deep enough that they have to put a rope across. Otherwise you could go up to your chest, the water.
Oh, wow. And that's cold water too this time of year still. So that'll give you a little shock.
They say it's the third largest trail run in the country. I think it's 1,200 people. So there's a little bit of the line thing, unless you're in the top 25. And they're also the high schoolers who just go out and crush it. It's fun.
That's fun.
I'll get one more mud race in before I get to meet you in the desert and do some.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun. Some slow slogging. We'll think about doing a live podcast in the desert.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have plenty of time to run. I'm going to be so everybody can keep their eye out for this, but I do have a film crew coming down with me, and my pacers are going to have GoPros and stuff, and we're going to film and document everything in Cocodona. Thanks to so my friends at Ketone IQ are coming down and helping out with that process. Thankfully that they're gonna help with the photographers, but we're gonna have cameras and have things to talk about anyway. So we'll do a little Joe and Don Mile 100 podcast or something, and record unfiltered thoughts from the desert. I know Joe's running a few legs with me, so we'll think about doing maybe 10 minutes every leg and have a 30 minute of me just deteriorating over 250 miles.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Amen. I guess I'm glad I'm not doing the whole thing. Maybe we'll turn that on next year, and we'll turn the tables back in the other way.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah, well, we got to get you to do another crazy adventure.
I have the Bighorn signed up for
Bighorn,
the 100.
Yep.
And, after this, it's interesting because, I got 8,000 feet of climbing over 38 miles. So that was as stout as you need to get to go do Bighorn or anything else.
Yeah, good training. And depending on how the weather is in Bighorn, there is about a mile at the turnaround that could be all as bad of mud as that we ran in this past week. So you actually, I forgot about that. You might actually have one more mud section. It's always bad. I'll put it that way. There's always mud there. It's dependent on how much moisture they've had and how hot it's been determines how long that section. But it's usually about a mile. Sometimes it's just, you can just kind of run around it in most spots. And then other years it's, it's a 25, 30 minute running mile while stepping into 4-inch deep mud. Good. It's pick your poison, because it's either going to be 110 degrees or really wet and muddy.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the Bighorn 100, though. That's another beautiful race.
It's like just a little over 2 months to go. It's not that long off here now.
I know. This year is just coming up on us for racing. And I just signed up for a really fast race in Kauai. So there's a yeah, there's I've never raced in Hawaii before, but there's a 50 miler at the beginning of August that has a $30,000 prize purse or something like that, or maybe a $75,000 prize purse. I don't know, it's huge. The winner, the men's and women's winner, gets 15 grand. And so I'll be training for Javelina at that point. So I'll be training for a fast, hot race. So why not go out there and see what I can do for 50 miles fast? I have a
Wow.
feeling that that'll be a sub 6 hour race for most for the podium.
Woof.
It'll be 7 minute miles for 50. So, but yeah, you
Okay.
want to talk about a pretty course, baby? It's around like coffee farms in Kauai.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it should be pretty.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're gonna, call it a day here, mud aside. We appreciate y'all listening into our adventurous weekend out in the Pacific Northwest, and looking forward to the next couple of weeks leading up to Cocodona here. Starting to get days a little bit longer and getting outside and enjoying that it might not be always freezing cold. So, come chase tomorrow with us and have some fun, and wish you all the best.